Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is In The TV recommend show.
Welcome to Show Me Magic, episode 7. My name is Bill Cummings, and I'm here with Jim Orton.
Hello.
And Angela.
Hello, hi there.
Hello, who's our special guest this week? Angela's in a band called Bug Eye. How's it going, Angela?
Yeah, good. I'm getting a little bit bored of lockdown and watching gigs online, even though they are good to... I'm not slating gigs online, but, you know, it's not the same, is it, going to a sweaty venue and, watching them. But, yeah, trying to keep busy. We've got an album coming out, so doing lots of promotion for that through Reckless Yes Records. We're also doing our own podcast, Bug Eye's Rock Pop Rambles, so that's keeping us busy as well. So, just trying to fill the days with stuff, really.
With your album, what's the release date on that?
The 10th of July, and it's called Ready, Steady, Bang, and you can pre-order it now on vinyl, CD and digital. Love it if you did all three, but, you know, that's...
I saw you plugging it on Instagram. With all the vinyl, everything looked really good.
Oh yeah, there's two colours. So Reckless Yes, our label have a members club. So there's like a sort of limited edition version for people who are members. That's this sort of red kind of splash version of it, which is beautiful. And then we've got a cream version that's for general release, which is also lovely. And we've got Julia from 31% Wall to thank for such amazing artwork there. So it's a nice sort of collage design, very apocalyptic looking and all about climate change and stuff like that. But actually a really upbeat record. So it's not dirgy. It's quite fun.
Looking forward to that.
How long have Bug Eye been going for as a band? Because it's quite a while, isn't it? You've been building up to an album.
Yes, I'd say we reformed. Me and Paul had decided to reform Bug Eye back in, I think it was 2016, and we spent a bit of time writing. And then this August, it'll be 2 years ago, we got Grace, who's a keyboard player, and Kerry in on drums. So I sort of feel like we started to take things a lot more seriously probably a couple of years ago. But yeah, we've definitely been back in action for 4 years now and writing away. And I suppose with a band that have full-time jobs and with the sort of expensive recording, it's actually really tricky for a band to afford to do an album. But we were quite fortunate in the way we had lots of material that we hadn't released that we could start using to put singles out, and then wrote the album in the space of, I think it was 6 months. So all new material for that, but we still had loads of releases of things because we had sort of like a nice sort of back cut of stuff to put out there. So we've just been really active with that.
It's totally new then. The singles aren't on the album.
The singles that you're hearing now are from When the Lights Go Out is that was written when was that one? Last summer to go on the album when we recorded it. So that's all new material. But the singles before that are things like, you know, Is This Love, Disco Dancer, they're not on the album, and Hey You, but all new material, really.
You want it to be more of a representation of how you sound now than...
Yeah, exactly. But also...
A collection of everything you've done.
Yeah, we just sort of had a lot of ideas that we wanted to explore and try out, especially with, you know, Kerry and Grace joining the band, and their input into the new tracks has been, like, really, really valuable, whereas previously it was me just sort of, you know, one finger playing on the keyboards, but never being able to do that live. But so a lot of great ideas in there. And we sort of explore different themes and different styles, but it all sort of connects together and sounds very Bug Eye. So there's still a lot of disco punk in there, but we've got like some 60s influences coming in, a bit more of the sort of new wave punk
vibe. Yeah, I was going to say that. Of course, you're on the podcast. You've heard us before, so that's great. We're really chuffed you've decided to come on. If you haven't heard Show Me Magic before, we go around the table discussing the tunes we're most excited about at the moment. So you're going to kick us off, Angela.
Yep, I am. So the first track I've brought along is by a band, quite a new band actually, called Tiger Mimic, London based. Absolutely incredible. Every song they've put out, they just get better and better. So this is their new one. This is called It was Still Dark. So here you go.
Tiger Mimic with It Was Still Dark. It's out this week on the 8th of May. And I thought that was quite a cool track. Sinister little hammer horror theme with menacing bass lines and buzzing riffs and stuff. And I quite like the hey, hey refrains, which reminded me like the Ramones. And her vocal was quite Susie Sue, I thought.
Yeah, I really like the dynamics of this band. So, you know, it's two main vocalists, Bram and Jess. Sometimes they're both singing together, sometimes not on their tracks, which you'll hear if you check them out on Spotify. But they're really creative with how they write. And I just love the movement of this track and how the guitar riff sort of ties it all together. And it does some pretty unexpected things. And it's a bit of a sort of roller coaster ride, I suppose, of hallucinogenic stuff. It's very poppy. But it's kind of got this really dark edge to it. And I love the music video they've created.
What did you think of it, James?
Yeah, I love that. I really loved it the first time I heard it when you sent that across, Angela. It's really weird because it starts quite heavy, I say, with the haze. And it's but then it sort of almost like breaks down to sort of a really infectious bass groove. And there's like weird guitar, sort of a delay guitar riff that goes through sort of the end of the verses. But like you said, Bill, it's kind of like a hammer horror soundtrack or something like that, a theme. It's sort of Halloween-y almost, with sort of, I put spooky vocals, but I don't mean spooky vocals. I mean sinister, like you said. Mm. But they're quite similar, not without being, they sort of more of a heavier, distorted edge to them. But there's a band called Lox that were doing the rounds in London, who were kind of, I think they called themselves like Death Folk or something like that. It was kind of this weird, almost Americana-y to it, which there's sort of that underlying feeling of that, but then it gets very heavy, which is great as well. No, I really, really like that.
I'm glad you liked it.
Did one of the band members make the video? Is that right? Did I get that?
Yeah, Brom illustrated it. So he also did the cover of the single. And then being on lockdown, they were wondering what they could possibly do as a music video. And so Brom actually learned how to animate and created it himself. So I think hats off to him for learning to do that. And I think the video looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's
very, very David Lynch-esque, if David Lynch animation.
Graphic novel almost. You know?
Yeah.
Angela, what are you giving that out of 10?
I definitely, I can't say 10 out of 10. I'd say definitely 8.5 for that one. Love it, think it's great.
Jim?
Yeah, I'm an 8. Yeah, I'm an 8.
I enjoyed it. I'd like to hear more because I didn't quite. I like elements of it. You know what I mean? It didn't quite blow me away. I still thought it was good though. I give it a 7.
Yeah, I think that's a good score. I think they'd be happy with that. Yeah.
I, to be fair, on this podcast, I don't dislike anything. So this one, so it's fine.
Unless that's Carsey Headrest, of course.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean generally. I meant just this podcast.
Oh, this one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Jim, to you. What's your choice? What's your first choice of the week?
My first choice is by a singer-songwriter. His album's only recently come out. This is one of the singles that came out a couple of months ago, but so this album's only just been released. It's George Ogilvy and In Only a Day.
That was George Ogilvy with In Only a Day. Quite a confusing title there, Jim. Thanks
it
for
is
that.
A bit, yeah.
No, I really enjoyed that, actually, and it's quite quite a surprise because it wasn't what I was expecting. Quite laconic and world-weary, I thought. And I like the way it's sort of quite subtle, kind of slouched along with an insidious kind of hook. I was almost reminded of, like, Radiohead, latter Radiohead, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, and I really like that, actually. I really enjoyed it.
He's really good. He's sort of someone I came aware of sort of middle of last year because he was going to be playing at a festival, and he clashed, I think. I don't think we got to see him, but an album that I've only sort of been introduced to fairly recently by my wife, actually. So it's sort of downbeat in mood. It's sort of like a dusk mood is what I've written down. It's kind of quite an evocative sun going down, sort of, and melancholic, but without... It doesn't seem upbeat, but there's sort of a lightness to it. It's not quite as dark as something like Eve, which I brought in as one of my sort of last couple of weeks ago.
I wouldn't say dark, kind of a resignation kind of. But maybe you're right. It's kind of, there is an infectious quality to it as well.
Yeah, definitely. The album is really,
it's quite light touch, isn't it, on the arrangements and stuff.
Exactly, light. It is kind of a lightness to it. Whereas,
quite clever. I was thinking like In Rainbows kind of Radiohead more than their earlier stuff.
I don't really listen to that album. I don't get what the fuck's about In Rainbows.
Well, I think there's a couple of things to that. I think the fact it was the first ever album that was a, you know, pay what you want, wasn't it?
Well, I know.
I think it is a very good album, you know.
No, I'm on the fence with that.
Depends on your taste, doesn't it, really, and what you like at Radiohead, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't get it.
Don't have to go on a tangent on Radiohead, but it's fun anyway.
We always go off on a tangent.
What did you make of that, Angela?
I hadn't heard of him before. No. So, it was really quite refreshing to hear, because I've been listening to a lot of quite punk heavy stuff recently. So it was quite a nice change for me. Gave my ears a little bit of a rest. It's I really like his voice. It's similar to, do you remember a band called Garage Lands? I think they were Australian bands. They were sort of out in the kind of the late 90s, something like that. Anyway, really similar sounding voice, but musically, obviously, quite different. I really liked the sort of laid back, emotive tone to this. I could imagine sitting in the garden drinking a gin and tonic as the sun's going down.
Exactly.
That one. Yeah.
Very much so.
Is this a single or is it on an EP or anything?
It's just a single. It's one of the earlier singles. I say earlier. It was out this year, but the album's only just come out. So I was about to pick a single, and out of the singles,
the
ones rather than. I mean, there are some. If anything, there are some better album tracks in my opinion. Like the first couple of tracks are really good. I very much recommend that. His album's called Whiteout. It was out 17th of April, so it's been a couple of weeks now, but. No, I think it deserved a bit of a plug as well, because it's just, it's really laid back. I say it's quite light, but it sort of fits the mood a bit as well. So I've gone a bit kind of a bit more quiet and melancholic this week with my
Less shouty post punk.
Less shouty post punk.
I think you've done all the. I think you've done all the bands, mate. I think you've done them all. I'm going to start that. I give that an 8, actually.
Yeah, 8 definitely.
What say you, Angela?
I'd give it a 7. I mean, I did really like it, so I still think that's a decent score. So,
It's good. 7 is still good, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
This is my choice. Next is Chemtrails and Frightful in Sunlight. I just think that's it's absolutely frantic and bonkers. And it's like Dennis the Menace and Nasher running down the street with, like an alternate Batman theme tune or something, isn't it? Incredible guitars, like surfy guitars.
Yeah.
And the kind of paranoid vocals as well. Yeah, they are quite, they always do that. It's like a double track kind of garage punk element. So Angela, they played on the Balcony Fest with you, didn't they? Which is
they did.
An online festival that's been set up in aid of various charities over the last couple of weeks. And you played it as well, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yes, we played four tracks against a green screen to make it a little bit more visually interesting, because I just thought it might look a bit boring just me sat there playing. But Chemtrails also did a green screen thing, and they absolutely eclipsed what we did. This was just absolutely crazy. Very psychedelic and just wonderful. I mean, like I say, they're my new favourite band, and this track, like the guitar riff in there, is just it's just really exciting, and as you say, like it's really sort of frantic.
It is. It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
in a good way.
And
well, you said Hammer Horror about Tiger Mimic, and there's probably a bit of Hammer Horror about that as well, really.
I think it's kind of like a bit sci-fi.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
and their artwork's quite sci-fi as well, isn't it?
I just think they're such a totally unique band. I just can't think of anyone else that's doing what they're doing right now.
Really. Well, the only thing that I wrote down that was one of our comparisons that we love to do, don't we, Bill? But I got a kind of Babylon Zoo thing. It's weird. The only other band that, apart from that, that I sort of felt that they were sort of a little bit similar to, in sort of not in the vocals, but in the sort of feel, was Menace Beach. I just got that kind of feel from them.
I wrote down the Cardiacs and the Cramps, but you know.
Yeah,
I can hear the Cramps, actually.
They've released their first album, Calf of the Sacred Cow, in 2018. They've got a new album coming out as well. You can check out more on their Bandcamp page, which I'm going to put all the links below the description of this podcast. I really enjoyed that.
The name of the song's excellent. That's one.
Yeah. Frightful in Sunlight.
Yeah.
I got visions of two people like coming out of their homes after lockdown and like, you know, blinded by the sunlight, you know, kind of thing. You know what I
mean? Everyone purely had Ocado deliveries and just walked around their flat. They haven't seen sunlight for weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to give that, it's my choice. So 8.5. What say you, Angela?
I'm going to give them a 9. Wow. I love it. I really love them.
What say you, James?
I'm going to go for my...
No.
Well-trodden 7.5.
My 8.5 makes up for it anyway, so that rounds you up. I'm cheating here, trying to get a winner here. I think I've only won once. I think one of my bands has only won once. Right, what we got next? We are back to Angela with Cross Wires.
Yeah, I really like this band. They're a four-piece from East London, and let's just get straight into their track. This is Distraction Technique.
Bye. cafe, eating by a coffee chain.
That was Crosswires with Distraction Technique, kind of post-punk, reminding like bands like Wire and Magazine. Hints of like American bands, well, like Husker Du, that kind of college rock thing. But also, obviously, quite an apt subject matter, given Trump and Boris are desperately trying to distract from their COVID-19 response. What say you, Angela, since your chat?
Yeah, no, I mean, I discovered this band quite recently, and again I just keep listening to their stuff and repeat. This was actually an album that they put out last year in November.
I think I wrote about them actually when they first came out.
This week they put out a 4-track EP, and this is the lead track on that, and they've also got 3 demos that have been released previously on there, so I recommend people check that out. I mean, it's had airplay pick up from the likes of John Kennedy and Steve Lamacq. And like you say, I just really love the sort of pacey energy about this song, and the hook that just sort of really got stuck in my head, that guitar riff. And sort of reminds me a little bit of like the sort of techniques that Buzzcocks did with that.
From London, right?
Yes, they're from London, yeah.
I think I wrote about, I'm just having a look on the website, I woke about Walking Wounded. It was a track that they released a couple of years ago now. Years ago, maybe it was one of the first things they released. What do you think, James?
Yeah, no, that was it was certainly a distraction for me. I was listening to that while I was working today, and the subject matter was certainly applicable, because I didn't want to do anything but work, so it certainly did that for me. I got kind of an Art Brut Eddie Argos sort of vocal technique, sort of if you can call it a vocal technique, if that doesn't sound derogatory, but you know what. It's kind of that similar kind of it's quite off the wall, almost like nonchalant way of sort of delivering. But if there's more of a message to something like that. But I know I really liked it. I got sort of a feeling that the way it was progressing was a bit like sort of going down another London band thing. It sort of reminded me of Shame a bit as well. The way it sort of was like the vocal delivery was over sort of almost like more melodic, hooky sort of guitar lines and things like that sort of reminded me of Shame, and then Charlie Sheen as well. I know I enjoyed that.
I'm going to give a solid 7.5, I think. What say you, Angela?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, 7.5 for me.
Yeah. I'm just following you on this 7.5. I don't even know what 7.5 is.
It's like you want to give them an 8, but you're just missing them all.
Respectful, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what, it's difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, want to introduce this one back to you, Jim? What's your choice? Yep.
So this is Anna Leone and Wondering.
Time on you. had to hide it all from you. That broke my heart. That broke my heart into. I count my every move. There's so much I want to do, and I've never felt this way.
Yeah, Anna Leone and Wondering, really laid back, sort of jazzy, kind of understated feel to that one. I really enjoyed it. And her voice is quite excellent. Such a heartbreak in there as well.
Very much so.
I'm loath to make comparisons, but I will anyway. Leanne LaHavis, I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. I've got that Janis Joplin. She's 25, 26. She's from Stockholm, but I think she sounds like she's like a woman much older. She's just got this like weary voice. It's like 40 cigarettes a day kind of voice, but it's amazing. It really, that was sort of stopped me completely in my tracks, for want of a, you know, a better cliche metaphor. But it was, I think it was amazing, really. Say very, so simple, but so beautiful, haunting. Yeah, definitely some heartbreak going on there. But yeah, it's kind of like that Janis Joplin kind of sort of very broken vocals, but
yeah,
just works well.
Really like it. And it kind of suits like a lazy Sunday afternoon, doesn't it? Or something like that.
Well, yeah.
In a hammock or a rocking chair.
I was more thinking sort of like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm getting old though.
Third bottle of supermarket plonk crying in your mind.
I really am impressed by the voice. To be honest, I was more impressed by the voice than I was actually the song, as in the dynamics of it.
There wasn't, it was very simplistic, that's what I kind of liked about it. It doesn't need much more than that.
I think with the music, it's obviously the movement within the song is just with her voice, really.
Yeah.
And I thought it was absolutely beautiful. Her voice is just so lush. And you're right, I totally get the Janis Joplin, sort of a bit of Mia Sapata from the Gits there, that sort of really rough, husky sound going on. But the changes within the vocal as well, the dynamics, I think were really quite incredible for someone so young, really. Oh, yeah,
the vocal is very impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start off on the ratings on this one. I did enjoy it. I'd like to hear more again.
Yeah.
I think 7.5. Jim?
8.5 for me.
Wow. Okay. This is my choice. This is Atahualpa and Borrowed Time. Just came to me from a PR called Sarah Patak, and she puts out some really interesting stuff. And this guy was quite interesting. He's originally a South American instrumentalist, and now he lives in London, plays with his band. And this one just kind of like got me. It's kind of a bit Beck. I like the groove to it. There's a bit of sort of maybe early MGMT in there as well. Bits of sort of 70s little smeared synths and stuff. Yeah, I like it. I mean, you know, it's sort of a curio, and it's from his new EP, which I believe is called Spells, and you can find out more on Spotify. What did you think, James?
He says, hopefully. I have to say, it didn't really speak to me much, and it sort of washed over me a little bit, to be very honest with you. It called Borrowed Time, but I felt like I'd been given extra time because it lasted forever. 3.5 minutes. I'm really sorry. It didn't do anything for me at all. No.
I quite like it. I suppose it's got that kind of psychedelic thing. It's probably got... It's kind of a groove, you know. There's not a lot to it. I agree with that. But I kind of like, there's a kind of a bit of a mystical, you know, atmosphere from it. I don't know. It's a 70s kind of vibe from it, I get. What do you think, Angela?
Yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, I will be. It's not been my favourite track of the show so far, but I still think, you know, I do get that sort of 70s vibe to it. It is quite groovy. It did feel slightly long, but it's still a decent track. I suppose it's not something that I would normally listen to.
It just stood out to me as one of his best tracks, to be honest, isn't it? And it was something slightly different, I think. And also, he's just done a session for us, which is very nice of him, you know, when we're all stuck at home and stuff. Yeah. And it's a bit bonkers. It's like it's just him and he's usually got a band and it's just like all these like different screens and stuff. So I assume he's cut it up in some way. I don't understand how he's done with visual effects. It's almost like mirrors and stuff like that. So take a look at that on the website.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, as a...
More of a visual artist then, really.
Maybe. Yeah. I think this
that
is more...
That would make more sense, yeah.
This is more of a sort of laid back one, but it is more of a rock band generally.
Yeah, it didn't speak to me, unfortunately.
Fair enough. Even if it's the track I picked, I still do... My criticism, I guess, would be that it never sort of like takes off into anything more than it's...
Yeah.
It's in its groove and it's there in its groove and it's stuck in its groove, isn't it? You know, if you like that groove, then it's cool, but it never really... But that's kind of the point of it as well. So it's,
yeah. Yeah.
I think it might be a grower. Do you know what I mean? It's not one of those instant, wow, got to hear that again.
Yeah, even though it's my track, I'll give it a 7. Jim, be honest.
It's a 5 from me, I'm afraid.
Harsh, okay. Yeah, I suppose on an album, it couldn't be like an album track, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah.
All right, Angela, what are you saying?
I'm going to give it a 6.
All right, fair enough. We're on to classics now, or cult classics. Songs were from the past we consider classics, and we're going to argue our case.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to kick off, aren't you, Angela?
Yeah, I've spent ages thinking about this, and I had a bit of a list and narrowed it down, and I actually just went for something really that I think's fun and makes me smile. It's a song by a band called Fox, who are British based pop band back in the 70s, and this is their song Single Bed.
Oh,
Was Fox and their single from 1976, and that was a single bed. Yeah, yeah. I kind of got like, it was like a stew really of sort of new wave, disco, even bits of funk and reggae. I thought I enjoyed it. It was kind of playful and suggestive. Like you said, it was a bit of a once a boogie around the patio too, wasn't it? Really, or the you know, your garden if you're lucky enough to have one in lockdown.
Exactly. I think in these times you need something that's just going to make you smile, that isn't necessarily about something really serious. It's just a feel good track. And I'm surprised that, because I was speaking to some friends about this track the other day and they were like, I've never heard of it. It's crazy because it was actually, at the time when it was released, it was in the charts for like 10 weeks and was a bit of a big deal at the time, obviously before my time, being 1976. But yeah, I'd have expected this to be played at more weddings.
Yeah, and the backing vocals I found quite funny as well, almost like Sparksy kind of, almost Devo-y kind of like backing vocals, you know what I mean? Just random out of them nowhere. I was like, wow, that's funny. You know? What do you think, James?
Almost like an experimental 70s funk band. I don't know, not exactly like Parliament or something like that, or Funkadelic, but it was just quite different, but also still under, you know, the undercurrent and the underlying being sort of the 70s funk, which is quite unusual vocals as well, almost like a childlike vocal.
It's
kind of like a bit of fun, really, because one of the things you said was that you maybe thought about Big Star, but this is sort of a bit of a different, a bit of a tangent. But yeah, I know I enjoyed that. As you say, I'm not always a big fan of sort of your 70s sort of funk when you go into a cheese room in like in flares or something like that. But
with a big wig on,
it's a bit of a sort of more of an interesting sort of experimental disco song. So no, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I'd never heard it before. And quite unusual vocals, I thought, Angela. I mean, I read that the vocalist, she's from Australia originally.
Yeah, I think she sounds. There's a very sort of altered image kind of tone to her, but to be honest, I thought it was them when I first heard that song. But obviously it's not, different band, but
All right, it's your song. What are you giving that out of 10?
I'm gonna give it 8.
Jim?
I'll give that 7.
Okay, 7.5 from me. So pretty good scores all around. To you, Jim, your classic.
My lost classic. I mean, it's not very old, this one. I did Nick Drake last week.
It feels like us. Yeah.
It's sometimes, sort of dragging a bit. But my cult classic, and it's just really a band and in particular this single that I just really should have been massive. It should have been all over all your indie radio playlists and stuff like that. But this is Desperate Journalist and Why Are You So Boring?
I love you, don't mean to, just wanna be seen to have a few so boring.
I don't know, Bill. I'm sorry.
Okay, that was Desperate Journalist with Why Are You So Boring from their 2017 album, Grow Up. Fantastic album, isn't it, Jim? And I really enjoy that. And it's sort of underscored with a lot of like cynicism and sarcasm, isn't it? It shows off Joe's voice, which is really excellent voice and great guitars. And they're never on Six Music, are they? An incredible band, really. And they're never on
Six Music. They are. I just don't get it. They're signed, they're with Fierce Panda, and they're happy with Fierce Panda. I mean, obviously Fierce Panda are a great label, but they're sort of at a point, you know, and they're not taking off, and it's
glass ceiling, they're hitting the glass ceiling.
Well, it's partly that, and I think partly that they're just doing it for the love of it as well, yeah, more than anything else. And they're doing what they're doing, and if it gets big, yes. But I felt like last year when they released In Search of the Miraculous, that they sort of really went for it, and they had Rough Trade signing, and the thing was that even with Grow Up and things like this, Why Are You So Boring, and some of their other singles like Hollow, things like Hollow and Resolution were all on the six Music Round Table, and they I think even maybe Hollow or Resolution got 10 out of 10 from like John Robb and people like that, and it won it, and then they seemed to sort of be picking up momentum, and it was got, but no, it didn't seem to sort of this last album really take off, and I'm not really sure why, but I just think I think
maybe it's because guitar music, if you're in guitar music, just
well,
it's hard to break through the glass ceiling now. And also, I could imagine they're a kind of band, if they were around the 90s, they might have been huge, you know?
Well, exactly. I think they would have been. I mean, there is the Jangly Rickenbacker aside to, you know, your classics, 80s Smiths and stuff like that. But then, they're big Cocteau Twins fans and things like that, which...
Quite a powerful post-punk thing, though. With
exactly,
them.
Yeah. But it's round...
I saw them in Cardiff a few years ago, and they played a festival here called Wales Goes Pop. And Joe was having like technical difficulties with a mic, and that just made him more angry, more frustrated, and it made the vocals even better. So yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
What do you think, Angela?
I'm a big fan of them. I went to see them at, was it Oslo in Hackney?
Yeah,
last year. Yeah, really, really great gig. I was a little bit worried about her, though, with the fairy lights. I thought she might get electrocuted. I've been a fan of theirs for some time now, so they can do no wrong. So I'm really glad that you picked that track. But I love the techniques that they use, the guitar sounds and the structures, and her vocals are just incredible.
Yeah,
very much so.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I've been a massive fan for probably about maybe 5 years now. I saw them just after they'd released it in a really small gig in Reading. It was well attended, but it was sort of a really small thing as they were sort of promoting it. But they sort of just built and built and built a bit. And I've interviewed their man Joe a couple of times. And they're really lovely people as well. So and that's always a bonus. But, you know,
I do like this song, but I wouldn't say it was the one I would choose personally.
I just think it's a brilliant single. I think that's one of the things for me. I mean, it's not necessarily my favourite song by theirs, but it's just one of those things I just feel like it's a great single. It's like a good entry song for them as well.
Yeah.
You're going to get into something, because you could sort of go a bit...
I'd probably say Hollow, because it's just so powerful.
Well, that is, you know, Hollow, I was just going to say, Hollow might be some, not more difficult to get into, but it's a bit more... I suppose
it's got those scattergun drums. They're like bloody, like, you know, somebody firing a machine gun off. That's what I think it sounds like.
Yeah. I just think this is quite a good entry song. It's a good,
I know you mean.
Who hasn't heard of them before?
It's got that kind of pop accessibility to it, pop accessibility.
Exactly, yeah.
And that kind of like sarcasm as well.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, she's
withering, kind of withering.
Withering, yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to kick it off. I'll give it that an 8, I think. Jim?
It's a 9 for me.
The fan club.
It's an 8 from me.
Last track of the podcast. This is Marissa Nadler with The Sun Always Reminds Me of You.
It's a beautiful day and I went for a walk, but I saw that old dirt path where we used to talk. Where is the rain? 'Cause some spring lovers are bringing me down. come and your hands have gone, but your land is something lost in a song. Why does the sun always remind me of you? Yes, it does. I hope a new day will come and cover up what I have done. But does the sun always remind me of you? I would know that there ain't nothing but love songs on the radio.
I picked this because I interviewed her in 2011, and I asked her about this song and what she was trying to go for, because it's actually quite different to anything else she ever did.
Oh, okay.
Because after this, she went really dark in a sort of more Mazzy Star kind of direction. Marissa Nadler's kind of like, she's written various albums and on Bella Union. And but this one, she said she was going for a sort of 70s AM gold Tammy Wynette sound. And that was kind of the sonic on it. And I just always thought it was a really great track. And although I'm not really big into Americana, I really like the sort of underscore of the Americana and the kind of her voice. I've always loved her voice. Mm. It's quite an incredible sort of bittersweet quality to it. She said the song is about not being able to go outside because everything, even the sun, reminds you of that person. So it's kind of like lost love, you know, lovelorn feeling. She really injects that into the tune. I just like how simple and direct it is as a message. Yeah, it's just stuck with me from 2011. I always thought it should have been like a, I could imagine it like Radio 2 or something, you know. And I suppose that's the, you know.
Damning everything.
Well, no, that's good. And she said, that's what she was going for with it. Because if you hear her other stuff, it's much darker and kind of almost like dream pop kind of, you know, Cocteau Twins kind of dark.
Oh, okay.
Whereas she started off in this kind of vein, you know. That's why I picked it, because I just thought, and honestly, when I interviewed her, I said, why do you think it wasn't a hit, you know, in this country? She's like, it was on US radio a lot, but it didn't do very well in the UK. So that's kind of why I picked it as a lost classic. What do you think, James? I don't think it's going to be up your street for some reason. I don't know why.
No, I really liked it. It's one of those ones that does wash over you, but that's not necessarily a criticism of it at all. It's like we've described a couple of other songs from today.
I love the hook in her voice. She's always got that kind of a bit like Phoebe Bridges, where she's got that kind of tone to her voice. When she sings like on the radio, well, I can't do it. I won't do it. But you know, when she sings on the radio, and it's like that kind of hook. I like that.
But no, I do. It does sort of appeal to my disposition of liking something like you said, it's bittersweet, but also because it's light and it's quite summery and everything like that. That it's someone singing about something that's not quite, you know, it's obviously about love lost and longing, but I know there's obviously a deep lying melancholy, but she's singing it very sweetly and almost trying to just banish it by being positive almost. Whereas, you know, a lot of people would just be all dark and gloomy about it.
And there's actually a clever line in it as well. She slips in something, I hope a new day will come and cover up what I've done. Well, what do you mean by that? You know what I mean? It's almost like, and it's incongruous with the tune, which is quite pleasant and breezy. And then she slips in this line that's kind of dark.
Yeah, but that kind of juxtaposition really appeals to me. So, no, I like that. Mm. I don't know why you think I wouldn't, Bill.
I don't know. What did you think, Angela?
I really liked it as well. I liked the simplicity of it, and her voice is just lush. Really. And I hadn't heard of her before.
Oh, she's got so many good albums.
That's the thing. She's definitely on my list to kind of, you know, binge listen to her back catalogue of stuff. So, I was dead impressed with that.
She sort of built up an audience of her. I think she sells out, you know, reasonable sized venues in London when she comes here, but she's still not like a big name. Do you know what I mean? That she should be, I think. She's got a great voice, I think. I love the way she just sort of invests. She also invests the song with a kind of, you know, it's kind of doing what it says on the tin, you know, about the sun always reminding me of you. She sort of gives it a light, you know. Okay, I'm going to give that a 8. So you, Jim.
7.5.
I'm going to give it a 7.
That's about it, isn't it? We've gone through everything. I'll just give you one more chance to plug what you're up to, Angela. So you've got this single out at the moment. You got any more singles planned?
We have. We're about to announce another single that will be coming out in June, just before the album lands in July. So details of that one will be out soon for you to.
We put your Bandcamp and your website and everything below the description on this podcast. You want to check out more about Bug Eye. Yeah, and your album, can you pre-order now? Or
you can pre-order in all formats now. It's over on Bandcamp if you want to take a look at that. You can either do it through the Bug Eye Bandcamp or through Reckless Yes.
Great label as well. How did you end up on Reckless Yes?
Well, we'd been a fan of a lot of the bands that they've, you know, worked with over the years. And they basically just contacted us when they sort of heard that we'd been working with producer Paul Tipler on writing an album and getting that all recorded. And they basically asked us, you know, what were our plans for that and who was putting it out, where normally we kind of go down the route of just self-releasing and doing everything ourselves. We never really had a great interest in working with a label, but I just think things are a lot different with Reckless Yes than... It's a very sort of collaborative approach. And
it's Sarah, isn't it?
Sarah Lay and Pete.
She's actually written for us before, so...
Yeah, oh, is she?
I did know her.
Well, they're absolutely wonderful, and they really do care about the bands that they...
That helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, there's so many labels that just want to sign as many bands as they can and then don't really do anything with them. And you know, they're just incredibly proactive. And so it just felt like the right move for us. And we found out that they sort of wanted to, after we'd sent them the demos of the album, I was on stage playing support for She Drew the Gun in St Albans. And I had my phone on stage because I always take a picture of the audience, and my phone was on there and it lit up and I could see there was a message from Reckless Yes. And it was just, it was one of those sort of moments of, are they interested or have they just said, this is absolute rubbish? So that was how we sort of found out as soon as we got off stage. And
it's a good story, that.
Pete Darrington has been there, done that, hasn't he? He was in Cable and everything. So you get someone like that who knows what was, how the groundwork works and how the sort of behind the scenes and everything. And Sarah's been doing, has been in the music biz doing PR and being music writer for a long time. So they've got a lot of experience and they are to look after a band as well. So
how are you going to fill up your time? Are you doing any like live gigs or,
we've got a live gig. You'll probably be able to watch back because I think it will go out before this show goes out. We're doing a Benumu live session with Jägermeister. So that'll be on their YouTube channel. We're also planning on doing a couple of other videos that are just, you know, we'll put out on Facebook or on Instagram. We're mainly focusing on trying to write some other material. So when the album comes out, we're going straight back into working on album number two. But, you know, watch this space. We're sort of writing in isolation.
It's important to keep up the momentum these days, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've got our podcast that we do.
Yeah, your podcast.
The weekly show, which is sort of music trivia, and we push.
We're hoping to come on as well.
The what, sorry?
We're hoping to come on as well.
Yes. So it's always with two members of Bug Eye, and we each come armed with a story from the world of rock and pop. So that could be, like, for example, I've covered the urban legend of Paul is Dead, the Paul McCartney thing. But then I've also talked about, you know, the last episode that's just gone out. I sort of looked at the rise to fame of Lily Allen and dispelled some of the sort of myths around that. But then, you know, we've also done things like, you know, our top female drummers, and we've done a whole variety of things. So with guests, we've just started having guests on recently. We've got Joe Caulfield, who's a comedian, who came on, and she talked about her experience in music because she used to be a drummer years ago.
Yeah, it was really great. Interesting to get a musician's perspective. We had Lloyd last time, but he's also a writer. So it's interesting to get your perspective on releasing music as well at the moment. What's your opinion of when the next time live gigs are going to happen? Or haven't you got one? Doesn't look good for this year, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, our album launch is penciled in for the 28th of August. Who knows whether that will happen? I don't think there's going to be a great deal of shows that we're going to get out and play this year.
Apparently in some countries they're having like less people in the gigs and stuff like that, and more spaced out. So who knows? But yeah, I think gigs might be the last thing to come back, to be honest.
I think so, yeah.
And football with people in stadiums.
Well, that's it. Anywhere a large amount of people are going to congregate, you're not going to be able to avoid being more than 2 meters away from someone. It's just going to be virtually impossible unless you only allow in 50 people into a 500 capacity place where, and everyone manages to draw a, you know, circumference around them to stop them anyone getting anywhere near them. And it's just not worth it, is it? It's sort of the atmosphere wouldn't be there. It's worth waiting.
But I mean, if you can go back to gigs, I mean, everything seems to be moved to sort of September. So it's going to be complete saturation. So I think it'll be really, really difficult. Bands. The same with, we decided to kind of just keep our releases where they are because everyone's moving their releases to being in the same month. Like cut through is going to be really, really hard for the smaller bands.
We talked about that before, didn't we, Bill, about why bands are stopping releasing their albums at this time and pushing things back when we've got such a captive audience. But you were saying that the streaming's down or something, but it just seems almost a bit futile stopping a release when so many people will be able to hear it and want to hear it.
I mean, we've been getting more streams than than ever. So there are a lot of people still streaming. Of course, streaming numbers have gone down because a lot of big artists have pushed their releases back. So you don't see that kind of spike of activity, but there's still a lot of good music being put out.
Yeah.
And it's not all the artists have moved things.
I think a lot of people listen to radio because they just want the information at the moment. I guess that's the... Well, they find comfort listening to radio, you know, I guess.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and it's just kind of, you know, the sound of other people's voices is quite comforting, really.
So, I'm trying to avoid the news at the moment because it's just too depressing now.
Yeah, I just watch the daily kind of... the daily briefing, and that's it's just the beginning bits of it. I mean, it's just
not throwing Rotten Tomatoes at the television, you know.
Well, it's kind of just to get the sort of key facts, and then
you do need to know, especially early on. You did need to know what was going on, didn't you?
Yeah, but it's just that I suppose I'm just hoping that, you know, each day when I switch it on, that they'll go, oh, and as of next week, you can go out and play again. You know,
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be slow, gradual. And then they'll just gradually, you know, ease it over months. But when we haven't got a vaccine, then really it's not going to go away. You know, that's the sad thing. It's the worrying thing, really, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm really grateful that we've got the internet. Could you imagine if this was before the internet?
In the days we had to go to a BT payphone.
Oh, God, yeah.
What was I watching the other night and they went to a BT payphone? I was like, wow, God, I remember that. I'm that old, I can remember those, you know.
So I'll make sure.
Any new bands we should be, apart from Tiger Mimic and...
I don't know if you heard of Weekend Recovery. They're quite good, so you should definitely check them out. They're a three-piece from Leeds. Kind of... There's with this new single, there's something that's a bit sort of like Japanese pop punk to it. So I'll definitely share that. But it's one of those things. Salvation Jane are a good band. Who else? Berries are brilliant.
I think they're playing Balcony Festival, aren't they? Balcony Festival is taking place every 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, every 2 weeks. And there's loads of promoters and zines involved. So obviously yourselves, Crocoland, Loud Women. And it was created by Joy Zine. It was
Paul,
Joy Zine's idea.
I've known Paul for years,
Yeah, same. So he sort of pulled it all together. But and the Zine UK is involved, and Beckdale Sound Test. And A really great festival.
And this week's one, who's on you? You've got a stage, is that right?
Yeah, for Crocoland, because I run Crocoland Festival.
Who's on your stage?
I picked Berries to. I absolutely love them.
Yeah, I've heard good things about them. Yeah. It's simulcast across all of these websites, doesn't it? And then it's also I believe this weekend's one is for Trussell Trust.
That's correct.
Which is a great charity. And then in a couple of weeks, it's going to be for Save Venues campaign, which is a really important campaign. And each stage is going to be sponsored by a venue, isn't it? Or we're going to sponsor a venue. I think I'm going to sponsor the Moon Club in Cardiff, which is a great venue.
Yeah.
And it's crowdfunded. They've crowdfunded to survive all these years. So it's important to, save the venues, definitely. We've got Rose Hip Tea House for... Saturday, which I'm really excited about. They're a Cardiff group. And there's a girl called Faye Rogers, and it's kind of her band. And she's got a brilliant voice and kind of bittersweet indie, I'd say. Kind of like the Sundays, or even a bit of Slow Dive when they're like full band. Do you know what I mean? Like kind of like green pop. But really bittersweet kind of lovelorn stuff. Yeah. So check her out. So you've been listening to the 7th episode of Show Me Magic, a new music podcast for goddessinthetvzine.co.uk. My name is Bill Cummings, and you've been listening to Jim Orton and Angela Martin from Bug Eye. Till the next time, ta-da!
Bye!
Bye!
You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is in the TV recommend show. Check out more on goddessinthetvzine.co.uk. We're on our Twitter page, God Is in the TV. We're also on Facebook, God Is in the TV Zine, with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, ta-da.